that's about everything that there was that was discussed by the working group.
And I think what you've heard in the presentations is a lot of material you're going to want. Some of you are already up to date on this. Some of you initiated some of these projects. What this committee is trying to do is to take this information and sift out of it what are the needs of the Capitol building and what are the opportunities. There are members of the historic preservation community with us today that have never attended one of these. There are some of you who are interested in raising some money. There are others who are interested and have proposed an initiative. We got caught last session in the last few minutes of the House, when the House adjourned, leaving some bills on third reading. The bill authorizing the first step of this had already been through second reading and had the recorded vote. Third reading was to occur just before they adjourned. And the bills that were left, I don't know, JR, how many? Three? We're left and we're not heard because the House adjourned abruptly ahead of the Senate. And so they were just never heard. They just died due to lack of action. There are two sponsors of bills that we know of, as I said earlier, that want to do something this year. If you were a legislator, having heard this information, how would you really go about knowing what might happen if you got a piece of legislation out there being discussed? It's unfair to them. They don't have the time to go find out everything and start all over and have a plan that they can assure people of. And all we're trying to do is to come to some conclusions based on the best information and your best personal knowledge so that we can come up with something that can be set to capital development and can be used as a base. We're going to take a short break before we do. I want to give State Patrol a chance to talk to us a little bit about Capitol Security. Denny, would you join us? He is wonderful. He has been very good to us in this committee, and he has also done a superb job of Capitol Security, and we really think he has some things to add to what we're going to do.
Thank you. Give you a little bit of background about what the patrol's responsibilities are. We're paid by the legislature. We have 24-hour coverage here 7 days a week. We have 7 troopers that are assigned specifically to the state capitol and to the legislative services building. We try to maintain a high level of visibility. All the troopers are uniformed. We do have on occasion an extra trooper from the governor's mansion or a driver that's around here. They're not specifically assigned to this building. We have silent alarms that we have in various desks and offices throughout the capitol. And that would be a consideration. We do have a number of surveillance cameras. We have a couple of in the elevators and also 3 on the first floor, and 1 on the exterior of the west side of the capitol. I happen to be the building warden for the evacuation for the state capitol, and it's a manual system. The way that operates is when we get a call, and each thread is a little bit different. We might have a bomb thread, and the evacuation is slightly different than if you have a fire evacuation versus a tornado evacuation. And we get volunteers on every one of the floors. They're called 4 wardens, and they volunteer. People that are here on a year-round basis, and if we get a threat of a fire, then our administrative assistant makes the call to all the 4 wardens, and then they contact all the occupants that are on the various floors, and there are routes in which they are to evacuate the building and locations in which they are to go to as they evacuate the building. Now, of course, we have a lot of public in this building, and public don't always recognize who the 4 wardens may or may not be. So that obviously poses a problem. Like Betty mentioned, this is a public building. It has public access. It is very difficult to provide security. We really aren't always working in a cop mentality. I mean, you know, we develop relationships here with police officers, with the staff, and the legislators, and the people of various committees. There are things that we want to do from a security perspective that we're not allowed to do or we can't do, and of course, funding is another issue. We don't have a budget to do some of the security things that basically, that's how we operate the school, and we handle all the criminal activity, we take reports, we do the investigations. We respond to controversial legislation, meetings, something like an anti-abortion or concealed weapons or something like that. But basically, that's about what we do here at the council.
For those of us who worked in this building many dark years ago, before we had this, it is a real joy. But please note that Benny cannot cover everything in this building. And we have a lot more people working in this building than we ever have before. Instead of it being a building that had the legislature basically depending upon its desks and chambers for its only office space, and that office space being taken up by staff and state agencies throughout the building, we now have impacted the occupancy so that we have many more people working here and have to provide them space in smaller spaces because legislators now have offices. They may share them with other people, but they do have offices on the second and third floor. I would think that impacted you right away with having more people in the building too.
It used to be where, you know, when we had the, when the session was in place, we had a certain level of activity. Well, over the past couple of years, it's more or less remain constant. You know, you have a shift of people from the lobbyists and legislators maker during the session to the interim period where you just have the visitors. And it's gotten to a point where, you know, we're constantly busy, you know, you're going boom, boom, boom from one thing to another. And our responsibilities have increased, and the activities increased, and we try to provide a safe environment for the people that come to the state capitol and they have business or they're visiting vacation, that type of thing. And I think it's noticeable too, because you look at this area here, this Capitol Hill area, and you see, you know, what goes on here on the Capitol grounds versus just walking across the street to Veterans Park. The people that work and hang around these areas, you can just walk across the street and you see a whole different clientele of people that go to the streets.
We did a Colorado Day celebration last year and we were astonished. We had so many visitors from foreign countries on that day, and fewer of our own people as we did that celebration. But we were amazed by the number of people who made visiting a state capital their number one priority. And I don't think I really realized it until that day when I was focused in German, Italian, French, Spanish, and a couple of languages that I wasn't sure of, and we had to find someone. We don't have ways. We have the brochures are printed in languages, but many of us don't speak five or six languages. And they were really intent on experiencing this building as Colorado's prime building. This is where they wanted to come, where they wanted to visit, and so on. See, we told you we had a hotline. You just saw Mike, I just saw Jim go out the door. I think, Nate, if you wouldn't mind, let's have Mike also join us and talk to us about some of the problems you faced in your time as a capital manager that you see on a day-to-day basis. Talk to us about school kids in the building, for example.
Okay. At any given time during the session, I'll have from all 500 to 700 kids in the building. You know, I'll have, you know, they'll shut down the whole room, kind of eat and lunch. You know, if I have these kids up in the dome, walking around doing their little tour, and something breaks out, somebody's got to call up in the dome, get the dome attendant to get them to get out. It is just a nightmarish to have all them kids running down the steps, and then looking for the four end stairways, and then coming back to the room, and then go up the first one, and then back out the building. You know, it makes you feel that, you know, that if you were a parent, you wish you were with your child, if they're able to get a tour. A lot of the systems in the building are outdated. We do a lot of repairs. You know, it costs capital complex a lot of money to keep up this building. And a lot of things, you know, we can't. I ended up having to call Rob Paul for the last few times. What type of system was put in, what was done. before we get into it, and we open it up, see what we have. We have pipes that are 70% plugged with rust. You know, steam doesn't get up there. The pipes are rotted. There's cement in the floor. We have leaks. It's a real nightmare sometimes. I just kind of consider what's going to happen to me out there. But we try to do our best with the staff capital complex has, and we've been, you know, people think that nothing's wrong with this building because it looks pretty decent, looks pretty good, you know. But if you see the behind the scenes, sometimes it gets to be a real hectic, especially for this lady here.
I don't think you, all of you might explain the capital complex, how this building is heated, and what is down there underground, because if you've not been in this building too much, you take the heat for granted, and right now we're suffering the consequences of the kind of heat that we have in this room. It's warm and warm.
This heat, we get our heat, public service also sells steam. When the steam comes into the building, we'll give the building a certain amount, 3 or 4 pounds of steam. And then we'll increase a little bit, or else we'll start getting real bad knocks in certain people's offices. And, you know, it's just something going on like that. We're all warning, you know, it gets on people's nerves. By the time it gets upstairs, a lot of it doesn't get upstairs. You know, it's just there's nowhere to go. And a lot of times we end up having to shut this section down and move it around and go around and try to get people somewhere else. We are like these radiators underneath the windows now. They don't make them anymore, so we have to fabricate them by hand, custom made. It's, you know, but we get it done. It's, you know, there's a lot of the building looks, there I go again, you know, we do a real good job, if you go in the sub-basement, you can see piping, wires, you know, who knows what, where, where it goes or what it does. When people do pull new systems in the olden days, they never pulled the old systems out. And it's a real, it's a maze of wires and pipes. A lot of them are not used, and sometimes you find out when you look to take it out that it is still something to upstairs, that second floor bathroom or something, that this is the drain pipe for that office. You know, because in the olden days, just about all the offices had sinks. And, you know, we have a lot of the piping that has been cemented in the floors and stuff like that. You know, we have leaks in the ceilings. We didn't know where they were coming from. We checked the roof and everything. Finally, the plumber, Craig Crow, traced a line down, and we ended up having to carpet up, tear the floor up, and we found a chase that was cemented in. We had to bust all the cement out to find a pipe that was rotted. Then in turn, you go to fix the pipe, you go to undo the fittings on it, and the whole thing falls apart because there's only about a 16th of an inch of the pipe left. You know, we keep all the samples, we have all the stuff. If you want to see it, it's good. But that's what I'm
hoping. You can understand what Mike is saying, that various groups worked in this capital, and we only began after the capital was about 70 years of age, having primarily one architectural firm that came in and did projects. They knew what was happening. There's been no oversight for this capital. Capital Complex does do the maintenance oversight now, and through the Department of Administration, which is a division, can in fact move, but we don't have a plan. We don't know. And so you can begin to see, without scaring you off, I hope, why we need to put our heads together to come up with some way and some recommendations that we can have. Jim, I'm going to ask you, we're going to take a break for just a few minutes. Jim Davis came back, and Mike has has outlined some of the problems you face in maintenance and daily occupancy and school efficiency on Mike, so we'll let you see if you have anything that's really on your heart and mind working in this building. Come on up, tell us.
Well, I guess my main concern is if there's a fire in the building and smoke, and there's been some publicity lately about not being in the capital of burn. And I guess I'm really worried about, you know, people seeing that green and knowing what we're following, thinking the capital's perfectly safe.
In the materials passed out, you will see some comments as you're reading at home about this isn't a fireproof building. And furthermore, with the materials used in the building, as you read this, to amplify Mike's remarks, there are materials used that have been here so long that we keep wondering what's holding the House of Representative desks in place. We think it's the carpet, and thank you, Lee, for buying such good carpet. So if the floor underneath isn't so great and people are walking in the street on the carpet alone because the wooden floor has disintegrated, you know, it was a good investment in carpet. Because we do know that those hidden things are the things that the average person doesn't understand.
Especially, you know, if there was a committee going on that third floor, and there's tourists, outsiders who don't know the way out, this building could have been.
Okay, thank you. David, you were here at the beginning when we started. Did you have any comments, or Jim Hartman, that you want to make as former members of the committee along this line before we take a short break? You should.
Yeah, I guess there's a lot of reason up here. My perspective is always my move, which is one of the alternatives, so I can.
Thank you.
An implement.
Jim?
Yeah, I think that if we just can't continue to look at alternatives. I think choice has to be made because Murphy Law will go into effect sometime. I think it has been for 100 years, but we know from other state capital fires that it happens. And the more that a building becomes inadequate, the more likely something will become more and more and more bad.
With that, and words to think about, we're going to take a break for 10 minutes. Public restrooms are on this level. The capital building is on this level. And I'm going to stretch your legs, get a breath of fresh air, cool off, because I know it's gotten warm in here. And we will come back in 25 minutes of three for an hour and a half, roughly, until 4 o'clock of discussion.
She mentioned to you. I'm going to talk to you. Monday's nine.
We'll just keep the list.
I have.
All those jury questions. All right. Okay, and if there's anything you want to add, just call Steve with your director's list. Because I think what we'll develop are some issues and questions.
Are there any more handouts that I should be aware of? Most of this stuff, of course, I've seen.
You've already seen it. You didn't see my analysis, but we're looking at the analysis.
No, I didn't see yours.
And so there, I just wanted to go through and make sure we had some perspective. You have Brian T. Robbs, that'll be with us next week. But I think this is very helpful, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Not vacant.
So that would be as well.
Are we on the right track?
I got mine.
Right. Because next time, we're going to lose.
Okay, well, whatever.
So it's not like today.
He was like, how many have I come? It was rotten.
This is exactly what his task force is called. I know. Well, I still think we all got that concern in my person.
I need to talk to Mark. Well, let me ask you this. I really need to talk to him. When's Rusty's last day? Today was her last day, okay. I need to talk to him. This meeting used to break, and George's here. She has something she has to get to the JEC by Tuesday. And what she wants to do is get some budget information. She has on a chart that she wants to have a graph. And she said, you can set a nice graph. She didn't know if you could do a graph for her. What I told her is, I thought Rusty maybe didn't want to do that. Today was her last day. I wasn't sure when her last day was. I just found out this day. Is that what we could do any graph? Do those on? Yeah. You did, okay. Is that something we could do? Okay, I'll tell you what, why don't you call over and have Jennifer Adams or Alice, I'm not sure which one, just fax it to you. And take a look at it and see if it's something you could do either today or right now. And if you could, great. If it's too complex, then I know. We spoke out saying, give me an answer, that would be great. Okay, thanks. Hold on, let me check. Let me just check.
Could you call Alice or Jack?
I'll call Alice and then I'll hang call her right now.
Okay, so George was spot on, so that's over here.
Fast.
Okay, thanks. Today is Rusty's last day, and she's basically out of here. But Mark's the one who did that graph measurement.
Oh.
For most of it, she did some of it. But,
so he's not, he said he can do things. If he can do it, he will do it. He just, you know, he's not a wizard. He said that he can figure out how to do it. He's happy.
Okay.
So if you get back to take a look at it, so it's a simple sort of a thing.
It is. It is, actually. I think it's pretty simple. Yeah. I mean, it's more complicated than I think.
Use computers, programs, just plug in the numbers and maybe do some kind of graph and they do it for you.
Oh, well.
It's not complex.
Yeah, see, for Jennifer to do it, she has to do it graphically and sort of draw it out. And I'll tell you, she's like, hi, Alice, it's George. How you doing? Okay, you know that those figures that
I had to go get a pub
ones and I put the yellow box around the center? Okay, could you fax that over to Mark Wolf? I have Layman and he just chatted, and Mark and Rusty are going to deal with it. So it needs to be done quickly because this is Rusty's last afternoon. Yeah, and well, Layman's at this meeting with me. Let them know that if the figures are not clear, they could just call you if there's any clarification that's needed. Great. Thank you. Fantastic. Thank you very much. Bye.
Hi, how are you, Liv?
Well, I'm fine. How are you?
We're good.
Good.
Are you having a good time over there?
Oh, yeah, I am. I'm doing all right. You know, some days are easier than others, but they're all interesting, that's for sure. Good tie today.
Well, thank you.
You should submit to the
loser,
yeah. I'm going to just keep talking. I got to get some
money because
I wanted to get a
chocolate. Say hello. I'll be bringing you some more information one of these days.
All right.
Our space work.
Great. Well, I understand it was good stuff. I'm not certain what, if anything, went into the exhibit. All I know is they were trying to eliminate things from the exhibit because we have
two years ago, you got a babysitting center or something.
I wanted to come back.
Yeah, one of them was four, and the other one is.
Now, you must have had the one before I visited. Yeah, because there was, okay, it'd be 2 years.
Yeah.
I think it was just going
to
happen.
No, I sure don't. And it has to.
I think I held your number at home in my list of numbers.
Yeah,
These folks just. See if we have anyone to meet with me.
Yeah.
I guess another group is trying to do the same thing as you're trying to do.
Where is
it? Provide some support to this project and restoration.
Right.
Must be what about 3 or 4 groups out there?
I'm not sure.
It was a year ago, another individual approached me and said, well, if I had the opportunity, would I give them a false account? Maybe help them.
Well, mine is just the 501c3 to raise money for the so whatever. And we don't want to make the decisions as to how to do
it. Right. What I was thinking though is because here's two individuals that are separate, neither one of them would be living on the same. On the same team. You would be somewhat third team, maybe a little bit different. Maybe sometime we ought to toy with the idea of just at least sitting down with whatever teams there are out there and see if we could do better by working together.
Let me know. Because I haven't heard of
so am I.
Just in case I don't find it. Could you?
Yes.
Would you mind? I know I had. Sure. I have it my list.
Can I write on this?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because if I do get in there, it gets real frustrating if there are teams out there that are trying to do the same thing, but sometimes have the appearance of working against one another.
There are no bad ideas. We're not going to organize it yet. We just need to get them out.
Use all the resources to the greatest extent possible.
This guy is working on an initiative.
Yeah, right.
And we're on the same page.
Okay. I have another one. I just ran past this card and I'm hoping to get through some of my stuff. I narrowed it down to a little box of stuff. I'm going to give him a call and say, hey, I'm ready now.
We need you guys to be the brain trust to pull all of us together.
I think it'd be kind of exciting.
It would be sort of fun.
There's a big picture here that isn't really as part of this committee. The state needs to be thinking bigger than they're thinking.
Right.
Maybe not dollar-wise, but there's some things that need to be put into play now, needs to be done now.
Right.
As an example, they pointed one there. That property is really nothing now. What are we going to do until they put a big office building over there?
Exactly.
And then say, my gosh, we do need that.
Oh, yeah.
Then what you do is you have to fit the program into the building rather than build the building around the program.
Right, exactly.
And that's the way it should be done. The second way, not the first way, is the wrong way.
Right.
See, the state ran that property at one time. And they needed some money, so they started. Whatever.
That's okay.
Gone now, but we have another opportunity. We'd like to go there and go on.
Yeah.
And they really, whether that has anything to do with this project or not, that's one of the first things they should do before somebody else would be involved.
I agree.
So they toyed with it here, but it's just like this room here. It could have very well been overfilled. This is not that big a committee kind of thing. You should have as many people in. Other committees are just packed.
Right.
And it's, you know, we learned that they probably need to increase their committee room space by at least 50%, if not 100%. We can't do it.
Right.
I don't know if you remember a year ago, the news articles, what happened is there were two more Republicans elected and two less Democrats. Did you remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, I got involved with that, see, because they came to me and says, well, we've got the space here, we've got all these people, and now we've got to put two more into that space. How do we make it
work? Yeah, you've got about 20 minutes. You can do questions.
And as a federal government gets out of the program, that's what it goes.
Right.
Programs don't go away.
Right.
And that means more.
Right.
This building's.
Yeah.
Well, I'll try. It'll be a month or so, but I'll.
No, I'm there. Definitely.
It'll be 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
Do another one?
No problem.
All right. I see.
Well, me too.
Okay.
Well, I can tell you that I won't have any more children. If this keeps going, I'm not going to keep adding two children.
That's it.
Yeah.
Two boys?
They'll probably be in college by the time this is done. But yeah, that's it.
Well, you're being optimistic here.
Yeah, I am.
It's going to be done by
Saturday. That's true.
I stopped to think about the project over on Magic.
Right. I remember that.
Because there are some things going on that would lead you to believe that they probably took advantage of an empty building. But you've got to get those people out. Gotta renovate that building first time. Then you can start talking about this.
Well, and if they make a decision and say this is the one option we want to follow, then we can start raising money.
That's right. That's right.
And we can't start raising money until they say this is how much we want to spend. This is when we want to start.
Curious as to where the political environment is now, where the state economics is to where the legislators dare do much with this.
And they don't have to allocate any state money. They should.
Yeah.
But they just need to start somewhere.
Yeah. just establish
let
a program.
Us, let us good. Do our work.
Yeah.
They don't have to pay $67 million. We can come up with a chunk of change. But they need to decide
what they want to do.
Yeah.
That's right. You get a plan, and then you start working on it.
Let
it evolve.
Yeah.
You can close your eyes and turn around.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Well, obviously, we need this one next, right?
Exactly.
Right? All right. I know.
Went too far, but they
have
the basis of what we can use.
I know that. I know that.
Did you do a Western? Oh, I did that. Yeah, last summer. Yeah.
Just
barely. That's nice. We got to New York and a 6-hour labor at Kennedy.
Yeah.
And we walked up to the next desk and said, we're here for our 11 o'clock departure tonight. They said, whoops, just a minute. 5 minutes ago, we got a notice on this plane. Oh, that flight has been canceled. There is a security problem. So we sit there waiting. They're trying to find more information. We're sitting there waiting.
To me, the solution was.
We're getting like somebody was killed by the police. They shut the airport down for security.
Yeah, preservation.
No, we're not going to go. We definitely have to go.
That will do you through.
So we lucked out. We have to find out. There's five of us that are ruling. And they gave us five.
That's what you're playing anyway.
That's a lifetime before you need to do
the basic. If you're in a neighborhood where it's got high fences all around, you've got a security measure, you know. But anyway, we got vouchers. No one else on the planet
has a
really. You sit there on downloads and see the every news program we can watch. What's going on? It's a gal from Salt Lake City was very about going. She was standing there with us. She's fine. What's it talking about?
Yes.
And covered over the atrium glass window area that's there. There are beautiful stained glass windows that are covered up and hidden now in both the house and second chambers that provided light. There was no discussion of the restoration possibility of, as Texas did, individual legislators have discussed it, of taking out the wood that was placed in all the windows on the inside of the Capitol building that opened on to all the atriums. When that was originally glass and those were opened and were used for circulation. So all those things were there in the Fentress study as they went on to try and say what it would cost, and we're not giving you those cost figures because legislators had too many choices. I think Diana sent a fair statement in the Fentress presentation, and they got so involved with the choices that they didn't see all the other elements and could not comprehend all of the cost figures. And the cost figures are somewhat similar, but with the preservation ethic added, I forgot the dollar amount, is it 15 million? We went anywhere from 12 to 21 million prior to the restoration cost of the Pentecost report had that were all, you know, that were not included, not added back in. They would be on top of what Steve presented in cost. And we didn't want to get bogged down in cost in this because we needed to think about what is it we need to do? What's our dream? What's the need? What are the desires?
And I think you hit it right on the staff. I mean, it's been our experience when we've been doing these presentations for capital development committees. We were giving them so many different options that were so complex that, and each option had its own range of choices within it, that we have to find some way to narrow this down, I think, and simplify their choices for them that they can grasp onto.
But on the other hand, if you're talking dreams, we need to talk restoration. If you're talking need, then you talk the white space.
That's why we have two different things. Needs today and opportunities next time, balanced with needs. So we get the right to bring in all the things that we wish for. And I need to tell you that our committee chair, you all recognize I'm the vice chair and he resigned. Our chairman, Representative Grant, was just stopping and he said, keep those people in there so you can give us a plan that we can understand. So I think we have the charge from the chairman also that we get to do this.
So the restoration expense was 12 or 20 or 12
to 20. 20.
And specifically, or generally, what would that cover? What was that?
It was original finishes and decorative painting
everywhere.
I'm sorry, is that everywhere?
Yeah,
we thought hopefully so.
Right.
It was the
every office,
right. I believe that it was the restoration of the skylights in the Hanson Center chambers. And then taking restoration where it was required in certain areas where it's been altered in the capital and returning it back to its original configuration. There wasn't an in-depth actual design development done on it at all. It was just a general look-see and some cost estimates. And the cost estimates I gave you came out of a 1994 document too, which I think we have to note also.
Sadly outdated, and we know we're going to have a high percentage of increase. Yes, Lee.
Madam Chairman, does what Diana was talking about, does that include replacing current things, like the replacing the current house floor, some of the other floors in the offices? Was that in part of this? Is that need instead of want?
I think that it was probably included in some of the contingency figures, Lee, that needed to be done. But like I said, there was never a real...
No, I never saw that anywhere.
Yeah, and I think it was those kinds of things were probably included in a lump sum contingency figure that was thrown in there without really knowing what we would find.
And another major item that was in the possible preservation was the restoration of the original Supreme Court Law Library, which is in the center of the second floor of the elevators and went to. It's used for house offices now and for staff. And when we took that over as chief clerk, she did not make wall changes. She used dividers and temporary walls so that can come out. There was a balcony around in that area. And that's one of the things there. One of the possibilities has been if you restored that to a library, could you move Legislative Council Library up there and give them a really good library setting? So we've been a lot of ideas floating out. We want to get these all pulled together now so that we have something that, while it won't have dollar figures to it, Dick, to your response, we've got to get some authority from somebody to spend some money to find out what those costs are. And that's not the capability of either this task force or the advisory committee. So we need to be very sure that the legislature understands that the cost figures have not yet been developed. Yes,
sir. Then to even go ahead and make plans, that there has to be a decision whether they will consider building a new building. Because without the new building, we couldn't make the present room 271 back into the library area.
And hopefully this group will say these are our recommendations, and they're 1, 2, and 3, and the choices are these, and we're not going to have. You can do anything you want to do under the sun with all these options, and you've got to pick them. They really are saying to us, the people that I've talked with in the legislature, all right, and some of the staff are saying, please give us something we can understand that provides a direction for us, and then we'll know whether we want to fund it or not. And if we disagree with a point about it, at least we'll know what we're disagreeing about. Mm-hmm. And otherwise, we're going to be spinning our wheels for another 10 years, the cost is going to be astronomical, and we're not going to really be able to assure anybody of safety in the building. Other questions? I don't need it. No other questions? Yes.
Has there ever been a spatial need analysis of all the activities and functions here in the county?
Yes, there was. There have been many. And it depends on what the objective is and what kind of answers you get. There was a space requirements analysis thing for the working group. During that interim convention, I went to the different to get an idea of whether, of what the space requirements were if we were to try to vacate this building, and what the relationships of the governor's office was, you know, to the executive branch and to the lieutenant governor and all that kind of thing, and what functions ought to be co-located or not co-located, or don't need to be co-located, and all that kind of thing. So that was done. One of the things that has happened is, I think, some people during the break, is there's been a drastic upsurge of people in this building who occupy this building on a regular basis just in the last 30 years. Legislative Council staff, they're abused by things, less than 5 people. It is now over 6.
We didn't let you have 5. I think it was 3.
About and it's over 60 now. And that doesn't even count legal services, which is, there's about 130 or 40 staffs in occupies the space of life. Most people here 40 years ago. So there's a lot of changes.
1952, the state had a reviser of statutes, and one assistant, Jim Wilson, was hired 3 years later for 2 people in legal services. Legislative Council was created by statute in 1952, and they hired Shelby Harper as their director, and he had 2 employees. David wasn't there yet. I perceived David in the building. But it was really amazing. It's grown tremendously. Yes?
I just have a question about whether we have any other deficiency reports on the building in terms of, other than life safety, structural, mechanical, electrical, aesthetic. Are there any other lists of things that need to be done that we can have available to us to sort of add to our
cadre? They have the history on that. Do you have any other reports?
Well, there would be all the historical programs.
When will those be done?
There's a diverse backlog of all of your issues that the buildings are referring to. But we submit every report. We know it so well, the property goes around. I'll see if I'm going to see. But we just have to get to them and ask projects. Your prior times each year based on what the current crisis is.
Is it manageable for us to see a copy of that, or is it?
We could probably, before the next meeting, pull out some kind of a synopsis that would be summarizable to just give you a brief listing of those kinds of things. And then, you know, it's just the general deteriorating condition of the system. So I think you heard really firsthand from Jim and Mark.
Just an observation. The other day we were at a presentation up in 356 that had internet connection into the broadcast on the wall, and along came the internet broadcast on the wall, and it went very, very, very slowly down. Because the telephone lines into the building are like conduit, there are no T4 lines into the building, so communications are also, and I do not know whether that sort of idea has been.
They were included. If JR were here, she can also tell you that they're trying, because one of the things in the Pinterest plan that disturbed us the most was they wanted to build all of this wiring for technology into the floors and raise the marble floors and completely change that. And the speaker made it very clear a year and a half ago, no way. We had never agreed to that as an advisory committee. And so this year, they are putting out laptops. Told Sandy that when she called me yesterday, I was excited because JR told Lynn at lunch on Wednesday that they have ordered laptops that they can carry with them. And there's great demand because legislators really want to do this. And they, if they tie up their phone lines with their own laptops, then they can't take any constituent calls.
So they like that?
They hate it. Because then somebody chews out the next day because they couldn't get in on the phone line. So we heard from Representative Swenson who says, I want one of those laptops because I won't have to plug into this phone system. Yes, Lynn.
Well, there's some problems with, and Diana will back me up on this, with some of the old water pipes. Because four times we had to repair the ceiling in room 271 because of water leaking from someplace, remember? And it was from probably an old galvanized pipe that was long past its usefulness.
Okay, other questions? Phil and then George.
I mean, just a quick, there was some mention of the space available, like over here across the street, down this way, and over here, parking lots. The state owns two of those, and one's.
Well, this is private.
This one here.
Yeah,
the other one's by state services.
I hate to tell you, it's been up for state purchase for the last 30 or 40 years, and the last price that I heard that was a reasonable one, we could have purchased it for $150,000 in the late 60s.
Well, there was something like that.
You were talking to Steve about parking lots, weren't you? One parking lot we don't own.
Well, that's one of the three locations in the parking lot across the street. Right, and that's what we do.
Georgie, the question is to Diana, how complete is the security upgrade? There's a few things that were mentioned, so they're passive, but does the plan, the life safety, address adequate infrastructure for security?
We're addressing that separately right now at the trustee and
And then this other actually is a communications thing. Since these studies were done, computers have just blossomed in the way of life. Does the planning here really address sufficiently the needs or project forward enough for the future?
You know, we worked with the Department of, well, actually the Division of Telecommunications and this, and I think that Steve, you also addressed this a little bit in your task group, didn't you? That there was some attention given to the fact that more and more people were going to want to do wireless things from home by laptops and those sorts of things. And right now they're not able to, but we even have, I believe that there is a large number of legislators right now who would like to do that and are not able to do that.
So one of the most primary things is somebody has to decide what this building is going to be used for. There are some people who would advocate closing the building and turning it into a museum. There are some people who would advocate leaving it completely occupied as it is. There are some people who would advocate moving the staff entirely out of the building, providing the building, maintaining the building for legislative and executive functions, and dedicating it to legislative and executive offices. There are some who would advocate moving the legislative offices out of the building and maintaining staff in this building and putting the legislators in the building. So there's about as many different options as you can think of as to how the building can be used before you can even
think about addressing problems like how do we equip it for computers and security and all that kind of stuff. So there's some real basic questions that need to come up with first.
And we're also there,
and there's also the group that says legislators have now moved from working at their desks to offices in the building, which are not adequate and do not allow them the privacy and do not allow them access to kind of staff services they need from the clerks and the secretaries that work in both houses. How could you best configure this? So we've looked at about 8 or 9 other states, and what they've done is they have closed their capitals, renovated them, and so on. And the combinations are really very interesting. You put 6 or 7 legislators with secretarial help or whatever number you have, and you cluster them in a new building, and you make several of those clusters. You put leadership in the Capitol building, and that's a plan. Others out into the new space, that's been a theory. You decide how much staff is in. In some instances, staff is in the historic building to be available to the chambers when they're in session, so that that happens. And frankly, in the years I've been in this building, since 52, I've seen legislative council in 4 locations. I've seen legal services in 3. And the needs of the building, we really need to address who's going to be in here, who's going to occupy it. And it's probably one of the things we're going to have to, if we can reach some consensus, we're going to have to say, well, this makes sense to us, and there are some choices within this, but this problem has to be resolved. Okay, Rob?